And the subject for our message is hell real. I believe what the Bible teaches about hell. In the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke is recorded one of the saddest incidents in all of the Bible. The Bible tells us about two men. One of them was a beggar. The other was a rich man. And they both died. And the Bible declares that the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. Lifted up his eyes in hell. Being in torment, he cried out, "Father Abraham, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me. And send Lazarus, and he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Is hell real? Is there really a hell? If there is no hell, and many deny that there is, and if there is no hell, then I tell you there is no heaven. There is no God. There is no Jesus Christ. There is no Holy Spirit. There is no devil. If there is no hell, then, my dear friends, there is nothing to salvation. And we are nothing more than an animal. And we die, that's all there is to it. But as sure as there is a heaven, and as sure as there is a God, and as sure as Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, and as sure as the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin, there is a hell. The same Bible that tells us about heaven, the same Bible that tells us about God, the same Bible that tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ, the same Bible that tells us about the devil, is the Bible that tells us about hell. So, if you say there is no hell, then you destroy and you take away and you blaspheme the name of God because you're calling the Lord Jesus Christ a liar. He is the one that related this incident that we find in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. It was the Lord Jesus Christ that said there were two men, one of them a rich man, one of them a beggar, and they both died. And the rich man also lifted up his eyes in hell. In hell. So Jesus, if there is no hell, was a liar when he said that. And I know that you know that the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the truth. The Word says he is the way, the truth. And every word that Jesus Christ uttered while he was here upon this earth was the very word of God. And when he says that there is a hell, all of the people who deny it, all the people who do not believe that there is one, I tell you, it doesn't change my mind at all. As long as the Bible says it, I'm going to believe it and I'm going to preach it. And there is a hell. And when I think of this and realize what the Word of God declares about it, I say, Lord, help me to so preach it that every man that's lost and every woman that's on their way to this awful place of torment will believe what we are saying, not because it's J. Harold Smith that's saying it, but because the Word, the Bible, the Lord Jesus teaches it. And the Word of God teaches that there is a place of torment, a place of hell called hell. So we read in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 9, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones on the all the kings of the nations. So what does it say? It says hell from beneath. That sort of tells me where it is. I have always believed, and from my study of the Word of God, I believe that hell is in the center of this earth. I believe that when and the Bible declares that hell hath enlarged herself. There are so many people going to hell today until God has had to enlarge hell. In the beginning, God did never create, and God did not create hell for human beings. He created hell for the devil and for his angels. And if you go to hell, you're going to go there as an uninvited guest. I mean, you're going to go there because you have stepped over all of the love, all of the laws, all of the pleadings, all of the entreaties, all of the begging that the Holy Spirit, all the convicting that the Holy Spirit can give you. You're going to go to hell because God has done his best and you have rejected it all. So if I could get you to believe it, just like the Bible teaches it, there isn't a man, There isn't a woman, a boy, or a girl listening to me and looking into my face but what you would immediately cry out to God, "Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And the only way that you'll ever be saved from hell is not by joining a church, not by being baptized, not by turning over a new leaf, not by living by the golden rule, not by joining some secret order, not by joining some civic club. I mean, the only way that you'll ever escape hell is for the Jew, for the Gentile, for the good, for the bad, for the rich, for the poor. The only way that you will ever, ever not escape hell is to come by the way of the cross, through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible declares that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. No man can fully realize how horrible hell really is. The pain, the thirst will be eternal. The Bible says God has never sent a soul to hell. God never has, and God never will send your soul to hell. You decide yourself by rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ and by living in sin, open rebellion against God. And the Bible declares that God has not prepared it, as I said a moment ago, for you, but he's prepared it for the devil and his angels. Sin is one of the things you're going to find in hell. You'll find its sting. You'll find its wage, you'll find its desire, and you'll find its death. All of this will be in hell. In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, the Bible says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting contempt." Will you one day wake up in hell? There has never been a man on the face of God's earth that intended to go to hell as soon as he arrived. I talked to a man 99 years old, and I begged him to give his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. The nurse had just told me this man is going to be dead, perhaps within 24 hours. And preacher, he's almost 100 years old, and he's never made a profession of faith. He's never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And a Catholic nun was the one that introduced me to him. And she stood there by the bedside as I tried to win that man to the Lord Jesus. And he said, no, I'm not interested. I'm going to live a long time. I said, but sir, you are 99 years old, and you're here in the intensive care of the St. Edward's Hospital, and you are going to die, and you may die today. He said, well, that'll be my business and not yours, young man, and I'm not interested in your God. Before I got back on the elevator and went out of the lobby of that hospital, they were calling me to come back to that room. And when I got up there, that old man had gone into eternity, into hell. And I never will forget the stare of those eyes as they stared up at that ceiling of that room in that hospital, the awful look that was upon his face. And I could just imagine that was his first glimpse of that place of torment, the first glimpse of hell. Let me tell you, one of these days, you're going to be surprised how quick your life is going to end. One of these days, you're going to be surprised how awful and terrible hell is. If I could recommend a place to you where there is stinging scorpions, and if I could recommend a place to you where there are vicious animals that would destroy your life and cause you to live a miserable life, not a one of you, but what you would avoid that place. But when I tell you about a place where there is no water, when I tell you about a place where there is no comfort, when I tell you about a place where you'll not find one holy man, where you'll not find one honorable man, but where you'll find horrible faces, and I'll tell you about a place where you will never have a moment of rest, where the worms will eat upon your body forever and ever, there isn't a one of you, not a one of you, I tell you, that wouldn't turn to Jesus if you really believe that. But you actually do not believe what the Bible teaches about it. You do not believe what Jesus Christ himself said about hell. He said it's a place where the fire is not quenched. He said it's a place where there is not one drop of water, where there is no mercy, where there is no love, where there are no kind people. Now, you think about it for just a moment. What about hell? It's sorrow. I cannot describe to you the sorrow of hell. Think about the crowds that are there. All of the drunks that died without Jesus Christ are in hell. All the dope addicts that died without Jesus and from an overdose in hell. all the liars, all the thieves, all the mass murderers, all of those that shed human blood, all of them are in hell. And when I think about you and how that you will not believe what I'm saying at this moment, but you will go on and face that awful crowd that's going to meet you when you get to hell, when I think of that, I am amazed at your stupidity. Really, nobody ever told me, nobody ever told me before I got saved how awful hell was. I cannot remember ever hearing a preacher preach on the terrible torments of hell and the terrible, terrible sorrows that will be there. The Bible declares in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 41 and 42, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which are do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now that's the way the Lord Jesus Christ describes your exit from this earth if you're going to hell. It'll be a time of wailing. It'll be a time of gnashing of teeth. For every Christian who has ever, for every Christian that you've ever laughed at and mocked and made fun of, you'll suffer in hell for it. For every bottle of beer, for every bottle of booze, for every drop of liquor that you've ever consumed, you'll regret it throughout all eternity. For every precious girl that you've ever robbed of her virtue, you'll think of it and you'll mourn and grieve and suffer for it forever and ever. Not only do we find sin in hell and suffering in hell, but you'll find all of your senses there. All of your senses. You'll be able to speak as you have never spoken. You'll be able to scream as you have never screamed in all of your life. You'll be able to hear like you have never heard. You'll be able to see like you have never seen. You'll be able to think like you have never thought. You'll be able to feel all of the agony, feel the pain such as you have never known. The Bible tells us that when we die as a saint of God, God's going to give us a new body like unto his glorious body in which there is no corruption. But I believe that every sinner that dies will get a new body, a body that will never be consumed by fire or brimstone, but one that will be more sensitive to the pain of brimstone and fire than the present body that you now live in. I wonder, how in the world can you choose such a place for eternity? How can you turn down Jesus Christ and reject him when he's offering himself, when he knew how horrible hell was, and it was so horrible that God was willing to give up his son, and his son was willing to give up heaven, give up his throne, give up his majesty, give up all of his glory, give up all of his worship, and come to this earth and die an awful death on the cross just in order to save you and to save me from a devil's hell. When I think of that, I say, how can you reject it? Not only do you find sin and sorrow and all of our senses in hell, but you'll also find suffering such as you have never known. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So this place called hell is a place of eternal fire, everlasting brimstone, everlasting suffering, such suffering as you have never known. Never for one second will your pain end. There will be no sedation. There will be nothing to relieve you when you get to hell. But the worst thing in hell and the worst person in hell is the devil, Satan. So we find sin, we find sorrow, we find our senses, we find suffering, and last of all, we find Satan. Where is he? In his kingdom. You remember that the devil, brother, was once the archangel of glory. He was at one time the minister of music in heaven. In him were all of the pipes of beauty and harmony. And he was so powerful until he thought that he would be able to dethrone God and take over heaven. And the Bible says he rebelled against God. The first sin that, and the sin that sent the devil to hell was rebellion against God, and P-R-I-D-E, pride. And so the Bible declares that the devil set up a conspiracy in heaven against God. And the Word of God says he was able to control and deceive and cause to follow him a third of all of the angels. What a powerful being the devil is. I want to tell you, there's not a one of you more powerful than the devil. There has never lived one single human being upon this earth. Not one human being. Jesus was without sin, but every other person, the first man, Adam, sinned. The devil overcame him, defeated him. The greatest leader, military leader that ever lived was Moses, and the devil defeated him. The wisest man that ever lived on this earth, with the exception of our Lord, was Solomon, King Solomon, and the devil deceived him. The greatest king that ever sat on a throne, I tell you, in this earth, was David, King David, and the devil deceived him and caused him to commit adultery, and then led him into murder, and then led him away from God. And my dear friends, when I stop to think of how powerful the devil is, you will not be able to overcome him, and you will not be able to find the victory until you find it at the foot of the cross. There is nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, that can cleanse you from your sin. And if you do not come to the cross, and if you do not come to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent, I mean truly repent of your sins. And when I mean repent, I mean turn away from them. Repentance means turning away from those sins. You're going to go to hell when you die. I used to think that if you went to hell, there were no exits, but I was wrong. You know, the Bible says in the 20th chapter of Revelation that death and hell gave up the dead that were in them. And they stood before God, all of them, only to be cast into the lake of fire. So all of you that will go to hell and think that maybe after 1,000 years you can get out, or maybe that some man can pray you out, or you can pay a certain fee and get out, that's a lie and a deception of the devil. And I want to tell you, if you die without Jesus Christ, you'll go to hell and stay there until the morning of the great white throne judgment of Revelation chapter 20. Then death and hell shall give up the dead that are in them. But that's not going to be victory. It's going to be worse. It's going to be like getting out of the frying pan into the fire. And the Bible declares that you shall then abide where the devil, where the false prophet, where the Antichrist is, and you will abide in that lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Is that your choice? Really, is that what you want? Is that what you want for your children? Is that what you want for your neighbor? Is that what you want for your friend? Brother preacher, is that what you want for your church members? Surely not. But why is it that we never hear sermons anymore on hell? Why is it that we don't tell the people the truth of what Jesus declares in the Word of God? I'm an old man. I know I'll soon be in heaven or the Lord's coming. One of the two. I was born June the 14th, 1910. So it doesn't take a good mathematician to tell you how old I am. But I want to tell you something, folk. I'm going to spend the rest of my life. I'm going to spend every dollar that God can put into my possession. I'm going to spend it to try to keep people out of this awful place called H-E-L-L. And I'm going to reach out this hand and do my best to kick you by the hand and lead you to the cross and to turn you away from your wicked ways to a saving knowledge of our wonderful Lord. He stands with a bleeding wound in his hand. He stands with wounded feet. He stands with a nail-pierced hand and foot. He stands with a whip-torn back. He stands with a thorn-pierced brow. He stands looking into your face and saying, why not tonight? Why not come to me? I'll redeem you. I'll forgive you. I'll cleanse you from every sin. And I'll let you walk away from this place right here in your room. I'll let you walk away from that TV set right now, a member of the family of God, a child of the King. If I could, I'd make the decision for you. Perhaps your dad and mother that are Christians said make the decision for you, but they can't. Perhaps your wonderful pastor would make a decision for you, but he can't make it. The only person that can make that decision is Y-O-U. And is it yes or no? Is it for him or against him? Will you receive him or reject him? I firmly believe with all of my heart and soul that no church can save you. I firmly believe that no water can cleanse you. I firmly believe that no works can make you whole and holy in the sight of God. It's only the blood that was shed upon that cross that can cleanse you from your sin. But I believe that if you'd call on him and ask him right this very moment, right there around your TV set, just close your eyes and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a wicked, ungodly sinner. I'm on my way to hell, and I need you, Lord. I need you. This preacher's told me the truth about hell, and I need you so much. As we look here, we find that the worm will never die, and the pain will never cease, and the fire will never go out, and you will suffer torment forever and ever and ever if you miss Jesus. If you miss heaven and turn away from God, please, I beg you in this last moment of this telecast, I beg you right there just to say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Would you let me pray for you? Would you? Our Father, out there somewhere is a sinner. Maybe a man or a woman, a father, a mother, a brother, a sister. Maybe a young man, maybe a young woman. Maybe a boy, 12 or 13 years old. Maybe a little girl, 10 years old. She don't want to go to hell. Lord, you don't want her to go to hell. And I pray that right now you'll redeem her. Forgive them, save them, cleanse them, wash them in your precious blood. And God, may we hear from them. May they write us and say, preacher, when you preached on hell, I asked Jesus to come into my heart, and he did. And thank you, preacher, I'll never go to hell. I ask all of this in Jesus' name, amen.
This is not a pleasant sermon to hear. It should be a shocking sermon to the unbeliever and a challenging sermon to Christians. Once we get a glimpse of the horrible reality of hell, it should change the way we feel about the lost. Why are there so few sermons of warning today about this doctrine? Why aren't pastors and churches telling people the risk that they are taking by refusing Christ? Why are pastors so afraid to teach this basic Bible doctrine? My father, J. Harold Smith, just preached the gospel as he saw it. He did not try to sugarcoat the Christian faith, as many are trying to do today. If we accept Christ, we are saved from hell. If we refuse him, hell will be our future. I hope you found this sermon today useful, and I want to thank you for watching today. If you would like to know more about this work, go to the web address on your screen. This is Don Smith, and again, I want to thank you for watching this video today, and may the Lord bless you in every area of your life.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And the subject of our message today is the mistake of your life. I want all of you to have a Bible to turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. And there in verses 3, 4, and 5, we have the major tragedy of the human family. Recorded here in these three verses is, I believe, one of the saddest things in all of the Bible. And I want to read this wonderful passage of Scripture to you. Matthew chapter 27, verses 3, 4, and 5. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Tragedy of tragedies, mistake of mistakes. Can you imagine, my friends, any mistake any greater than selling the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Prince of Glory, the one that is altogether lovely, the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star? Can you imagine selling the Creator of the universe? Can you imagine selling him for 30 pieces of silver? When Judas realized the mistake that he had made, he went back to the elders and to the priest in the temple, where there should have been the men of God and the holy men of God. And he said to them, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. For the 3.5 years perhaps that Judas Iscariot was with the Lord Jesus Christ, not one time did he ever see a sin in our Lord. No angel, no human being, no devil, no person has ever been able to find one little sin in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Judas cried out in the presence of those elders and priests, I have betrayed innocent blood. Do you know anything any worse than betraying innocent blood? And especially the blood, the precious blood, the Bible declares in Peter, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine selling that which cleanseth us from all sin for 30 pieces of silver? Just 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave in that day. Now, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we find that Judas made the mistake of his life. But he, and when he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ and sold him, he had said to those priests, I'll lead an army, or I'll lead a band or a mob out there where I know that he'll be tonight praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the one that I kiss, that's going to be the man that's called Jesus. And so they came. Our Lord had just finished praying, and his prayer had been so earnest until his sweat had become great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And the word of God tells us that Judas walked up to him and said, Master, and kissed him. And the Lord said, Judas, betrayest thou me with a kiss? Are you going to plant the kiss of hypocrisy upon my face? And at the same time, selling me for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave? You honor me out of your lips, but in your heart, you count me as nothing but a slave. Nothing. I wonder how many of you look into my face. You honor the Lord with your lips, but down in your heart, he's not the Lord of your life. He's not the King of Kings. He is not your Redeemer even. And yet I tell you, well, you sing in the choir, and yet some of us preach in the pulpit, and many, I tell you, serve on the deacon board and teach in their Sunday school class that have never been born again, never been washed in that precious blood, that Judas sold for 30 pieces of silver. And the word of God says that Judas' worst mistake was when he sold the Lord. Though your greatest mistake will not be your marriage, hundreds, maybe thousands of you looking into my face right now and listening to this message, maybe you've made a mistake in your marriage. Maybe you've had a divorce. Maybe not one, but maybe two or three divorces. Maybe you have been divorced as many times as some of our movie stars and TV stars have been divorced. You made a mistake in your marriage, but that's not like selling the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not like betraying our wonderful Lord. To betray him is the worst sin that you can ever commit. You will never commit a sin. Drunkenness, revelry, fornication, adultery, gambling, my friends, cursing and taking God's name in vain. Nothing, no sin other than blaspheming against the Holy Spirit and committing the unpardonable sin is worse than selling our Lord. If you had to put a price on Jesus, if this very moment I came to your door and I said, I'm taking a survey and I want to find out what each member of your family would sell the Lord Jesus Christ for, how many of you would say, I'll take $1 for him? I'll take $100 for him. I'd sell him just to get rid of him. How many of you would say I'd take $1,000? What sort of price do you place upon Jesus? He is more precious than gold. If I had all of the gold that's ever been mined and all the silver and all the metals that have ever been discovered and all the precious stones and 10 million worlds like this, it would not be a price for which I would take my Lord. The most precious thing in all of this universe to me is the Lord Jesus Christ. I've loved my wife since we were 11 years old. I met her when I was 11 and she was 11. And to this very day, I love her. The only woman that I ever loved in my life, the only sweetheart I ever had was Myrtis. And I want to tell you something. If it came to it, to where I could never look on her face again, and never speak to her again, and never see her again, or give up Jesus, it wouldn't take me 5 seconds to make up my mind what I'd do. I have a lovely, wonderful daughter, Martha, a wonderful son by the name of Don, a wonderful daughter-in-law by the name of Maureen, a little grandson by the name of David, a little granddaughter by the name of Emily, and a doctor grandson by the name of Lance, and a wonderful, marvelous granddaughter by the name of Carol. But if it came to it that I had to give up all of my family, never see another one of them, never speak to another one of them, and my friends, it wouldn't take me 5 seconds to make up my mind what I'd do. I know that I'd put them all on the altar for my wonderful Lord. What does Jesus Christ mean to you? Have you sold him? If you sold him, how much did you get for him? A bottle of beer? A jigger of liquor? What did you get for him? A prostitute? What did you get for the Lord Jesus Christ? A few $100 in Las Vegas at the casino? What is it that you have sold the Lord for in your life? The greatest mistake you will ever make in your life is to sell the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what he did. The Bible says right here in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 14, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted it with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. The minute you sell the Lord Jesus Christ, from that moment on, I tell you, you'll seek an opportunity to betray him. Probably this is one of the most tragic things that ever happened to a human being. Will you agree with me that that's a mistake of mistakes? To betray, to sell, to get rid of the Lord Jesus Christ? He stands at your door. He wants to come in. He is the most valuable thing in all of the universe. There is nothing as valuable as the Son of God. God so loved the world that he gave the very best that he had. Aren't you glad that he didn't send Gabriel or Michael? Aren't you glad that he didn't send one of the cherubims? Aren't you glad that he sent his only begotten Son? Why? To redeem, to save, to wash away your sins, to cleanse you, to cleanse me from every sin, so that I could go to heaven, so that I wouldn't go to hell and spend eternity in that awful lake of fire as recorded in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. And yet, we ignore him, we shun him, we deny him, we even take his name in vain and curse him, and yet the mercy of our wonderful God is extended to every one of us. Not a man, not a woman, not a boy, not a girl, not a person living on the face of this earth. It doesn't make any difference if your skin is black or white or red or yellow. It doesn't make any difference if your religion is that of a Protestant or a Catholic or a Jew. It doesn't make any difference whether you worship God in a synagogue or a cathedral or a Baptist or a Pentecostal church. I want to tell you something. The church is not it. It's Christ. And he said, there is no other way other than by the way of the cross. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man, that's Jew, Gentile, that's you, that's me, no man cometh unto the Father but by him. And so the only way to heaven is through the cross. What are you going to do with Jesus? Sell him? If you do, you're going to make the greatest mistake that you've ever made in all of your life. Please do not turn him away from the door of your heart. He wants to come in this very moment. As I look here in the Word of God, I find that many men made a mistake. For example, Haman made the mistake by hating another human being. Hatred is a terrible sin. Is there somebody that you hate? Do you hate your wife? Do you hate your husband? Do you hate your parents? Do you hate your next door neighbor? Do you hate somebody in the church? Preacher? Do you hate one of the members of your church? One of the members of the church? Do you hate your preacher? Is there a hatred in your heart? That's a terrible cancer. And Haman hated Mordecai. Why? Because he would not bow his head and worship him instead of God. Do you get angry when somebody will not promote you and honor you and exalt you? There are hundreds of preachers that think they have to be carried around on a little silver platter and everybody bow down before them and humble themselves before them. We are the servants of the people. We are the slaves of the people. We are the leaders of the people. And we cannot expect to be honored by everybody. The Lord said that the man that expects to be honored by everybody, that man is a man that will be found wanting when he stands before God. I want to tell you, as sure as I'm speaking to you at this moment, that if you have hate in your heart, you are building your own gallows on which you will be hanged. The Bible says that he built a 50-cubit high tower, a gallows on which to hang Mordecai. But instead of that Jew being hanged upon that gallows and upon that platform, he was hanged. And not only he, but his 10 sons. Can you imagine that? What a terrible tragedy. Hate is a terrible mistake in your life. And then I look in the Word of God and I find that Daniel's enemies, they hated Daniel. They hated a man of prayer. It is always a dangerous thing to hate somebody that's able to get through to God in prayer. Your preacher, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, and you hate them? I want to tell you, it's a dangerous thing to plot and plan against the preacher. There are deacons right now looking in my face, and you are plotting right now to run your preacher off. Why? Because he's rung up your number. Not because he is immoral. I wouldn't have a pastor. I wouldn't stand for a preacher that was immoral. I wouldn't stand for a preacher that wouldn't pay his debts. I wouldn't stand for a preacher that'd tell a lie. I wouldn't stand for him. But I want to tell you, if you get angry with a preacher that preaches the Word of God and rings up your number every Sunday morning, and you're plotting to get rid of him, you're going to hang on that same gallows. One of these days, God Almighty is going to do it, or put you in the lion's den. When the enemies of Daniel came together, they said, "We cannot find any fault with him in the manner in which he serves his God." Isn't that a wonderful testimony? When your enemies can't find anything wrong with you other than the way you serve God, that's a real testimony. It really is a real testimony. But let me tell you something. My friend, as sure as I'm speaking to you right now, if you plot the destruction of a man of prayer, there's a lion's den and a bunch of hungry lions waiting for you. They threw Daniel in that lion's den, but not a one of them touched him. Not a one of them. But as soon as he was delivered the next morning, they threw all 119 of those other presidents of the providences and their families into that den, and they were torn to pieces by those wild, hungry lions. So your fate is sure. Your judgment is sure if you have hate or if you have in your heart and plotting against God's man and God's servant. And then we find Herod made a terrible mistake. What was the mistake that Herod made? He signed a decree to kill all the little innocent babies. He said, "I want to kill Jesus, and I want my soldiers to go down to Bethlehem, and I want them to go and take a census. And every home where there's a child, a boy child, that is 2 years old or under, I want him slaughtered." That brings to my mind the most horrible picture in the Bible. Can you see those soldiers as they come to a home? They rap on the door. The mother comes to the door nursing a sweet little boy. And that soldier says, "Ma'am, we are taking a census for Herod. We're out of Jerusalem, and we've come down to take a census. And we want to know how many members in your family." "Well, my husband, my oldest son, his name is Joseph. And my youngest daughter, well, and a daughter by the name of Sarah, and our little baby boy by the name of Benjamin." And before she can say another word, that soldier reaches out with that strong arm, takes that little baby by the hair, jerks it away from his mother's breast, and with one draw of the sword and one swipe of it, that little body is severed from that head. And he throws that little head back into the living room with that mother. What a horrible picture. And God caused judgment to fall upon Herod for slaying all of those little innocent ones. What are we doing today? 4,000 every day little babies in their mother's womb are murdered. We call it abortion. We call it getting rid of those that we do not want. My friends, I want to tell you, your judgment is ahead. Abortion is murder in the first degree. And all you that participate in it, all you that vote for it, all of you that believe in it, you're going to stand before God today, one day, like Herod, guilty of slaying the most innocent. There is no human being as innocent as a little fetus in the mother's womb. And I want to ask you, how in the world are you going to escape the judgment of God? How are you going to escape for all of those that you've murdered? Oh, our mistakes. What a mistake it is for America to legalize liquor, legalize casinos and gambling. What a mistake it is for us to legalize abortion. What a tremendous mistake it is for us to put a liquor joint and a beer joint on every corner in our streets, in our cities. One day, God's going to bring judgment upon us. And what a terrible judgment that's going to be. And as we come to the close of this message, I want to say to you, what is the mistake that you are making in your life? What is the greatest mistake that you will ever make? Many will make the same mistakes that I've recorded here. You will try to destroy him. But I want to tell you, you'll never be able to destroy Jesus Christ. They thought they could put him upon a cross. They thought that they could nail him to a tree and that would get rid of him. They did put him on the tree. And I hear a lot of times how that the Jews killed him, the Romans killed him, but the Bible says that he laid down his own life. They couldn't kill God. God had to lay down his own life in order that I might be redeemed. But they put him in a tomb, in Joseph's tomb. But that tomb could not hold him. That stone that was rolled at the mouth of that tomb was not able to contain and keep Jesus. And for 3 days, he lay in that tomb. And on the third day, 72 hours exactly after he was buried, after he died on the cross, 72 hours later, he came out of that grave, raised up by the power of God and alive forevermore. And for 40 days, he was here on this earth, showing himself, not to sinners, but showing himself to his own believers. And then 40 days later, on the Mount of Olivet, he ascended up to heaven, took his rightful place upon the right hand of God, interceding for me and interceding for you. And there he is right now. You want to know where Jesus is? He's in heaven. He's right by the side of the Lord Jesus Christ on the right side. What's he doing? He's interceding for you. He's pleading, God, don't cut him off. Don't cut that sinner off. He's made a mistake, but Lord, forgive him. That's what Jesus is doing at this very moment. But one of these days, God's not going to listen any longer. One of these days, tragedy upon tragedy, hell's going to break loose. And all hell is going to come into your heart. And for eternity, you will scream for a drop of water to cool your scorched and burning tongue. Let Jesus come into your heart as we pray for you. Our Father, out there are multiplied thousands of people. They don't realize it, but they're selling Jesus. Some of them are selling him for a beer. Some of them are selling him for a prostitute. Some of them are selling him, Lord, to satisfy their gambling instinct. Whatever it is that they're selling Jesus for, please, Lord, open their eyes, let them see what a mistake they're making, and help them at this very moment to say, oh, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I'm on my way to hell. I don't want to go to hell. God, save me. And God, save them right there. Save that father. Save that mother. Save that son, that daughter, that grandpa, that grandma. Save them, Lord. And may we meet them one day in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.